Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Luke, chapter 20.
As you can well imagine, as a pastor, I receive many things that come across my desk. Many publications. I'll be reading from one in a little bit. And when I first read it, I said, I cannot wait till we get to the story of the widow's mite, which is in chapter 21, which we'll get to shortly. Did you ever realize what a privilege it is to be a Christian? Wow, that didn't go over very well. Maybe you're still turning to the book of Luke. Let me say that once again. Do you ever realize what a privilege it is to be a Christian? It is the greatest privilege in the world. And may I say this? I'm not going to say that we're not going to have trials and temptations, because we are, just as Dr. Mark was talking about the church there in Smyrna. They went through tribulations and trials, and we will too. In fact, Christ said that if we are servants of his, there's a good chance we're going to suffer. One of the problems is we don't want to suffer. But may I say this, it is a privilege to be a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. So let's stand together, if you would, the book of Luke. If you're able to stand, do so. Luke chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 27. And we find that once again that the Lord is going to be attacked. Continually they came until this point to ask him questions. But if you would, verse 27, then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children. And died. Last of all, the woman died also. I don't blame her for dying. I'm not sure if I were the sixth brother, I would want her. Especially if you were the seventh. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Dear Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be alive and vibrant for the cause of Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for these that are here today. We pray, Lord, your will be done in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we have seen the past weeks, Jesus has been attacked by any number of religious and political groups. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders wanted to destroy him. The Herodians and the Pharisees wanted to entrap him in his words. And here the Sadducees question his doctrines of life after death. But Jesus will put them all to silence. Let's read verses 39 and 40. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. He put them all to silence. But then we find in verses 45 through 47 that Jesus warns the people concerning the attitude and actions of the scribes, those whose job it was to copy down the Old Testament. And he tells them to beware of their dress Beware of their greetings. Beware of their desires. And he warns widows also about these scribes. And let's begin reading at verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. See, they wanted to draw attention by their long flowing robes. They wanted to greet one another and shout across the crowd to draw attention to their presence. We find that their desires were to have the best seats and that they also wanted the special rooms. But they took advantage of widows by their long prayers, trying to make themselves look holy, hoping that the widow being impressed would give them a gift. But he says they will receive the greater damnation, the greater punishment for their self-righteousness. We need to make sure that we are not self-righteous. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be doomed and damned for eternity in hellfire. When the Lord sees us, he sees a sinner in need of salvation. He doesn't see our nationality. He doesn't see our IQ. He doesn't see our bank account. He sees one who needs the Savior. But now we come to chapter 21 and just four short verses about a certain poor widow. Verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. A mite was 1/8 of a penny. And so she gave 2/8 of a penny. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Who are the they all? All these rich men who have cast in of their abundance. She has given more. In verse 4, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. We find that he looked up. He had seen her after having talked to the Sadducees, after warning the people about the scribes. He now looks. May I say this, that there is no greater personality in all the universe than God the Father. He saw the need, and God the Son was willing to be the gift. He was willing to come. We find that Jesus was questioned, he makes a statement, and now watching the rich men give their gifts, he now has a statement to make. Now, may I say this, and my dad probably would agree on part of this, that one of the hardest things to preach about in a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church is giving. Whoa, listen to the silence. There is something about the idea of giving. You're afraid that I'm going to reach into your back pocket and take out your wallet or reach into your purse and take out your wallet. I am not going to do it. What you give is between you and God. It has nothing to do with me. I mean, I believe this, and I thank God that my mother and dad taught me to give. My wife can tell you from the very first offering when we were Mr. and Mrs. Palmadonna that we have given. And God has blessed us beyond measure. And sometimes I am just simply amazed how God has blessed. But I'm not going to talk to you personally about giving. I'm going to read scripture to you. And then if you're angry, you can be angry at God. Did I hear an amen on that? 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're not to give because we're mad or sad, but we're to give because we're glad. I'll turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, that being give or distribute, with that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world. And may I say this, we as Americans, we're rich. We have more than most of the world has, and we have been blessed beyond measure. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And one last thought, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Let me ask this question, is money evil? Money is not evil, folks. It's what you do with it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Wow, I can move on. That was comic relief, folks. Okay. Verse 1, and he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. I have read, and maybe you have read this too, that the treasury, it was an opening in the wall that was a metal container that had a tube that ran down to a box on the other side. So if you threw a coin in there, what would it do? It would make noise. So the more coins you put in there, what? The more noise it would make. And you could be quite impressive, couldn't you? Doof, 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 doof. There were no dollar bills back there, folks. Now, may I say this? I've been at meetings where they said, we don't want to hear any money being put in the offering. What are they saying? Put in those dollars. Yes. And he's watching as the men go by and they throw in of their abundance into the treasury. But he notices something. Verse 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Now, may I say this, two mites, though coins, were not going to give the same sound as the bigger amounts of money. In fact, she may have just simply put them on it so they would slide down versus rattle down. But we find that she cast in these two mites. May I say this, little as much if God is in it. If you are giving out of a heart of joy and out of a heart of love and out of a heart of compassion, God can do much with what you have and what you're willing to give. She did not only cast in her tithe, she cast in her living. She cast in exactly all that she had. Read verses 3 and 4 with me, please. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. The disciples are standing there and they're hearing the money roll down into the treasury box on the other side of the wall, and they're impressed, because we are impressed by money, aren't we? We think if somebody comes in a certain vehicle that wow, look at that car. They're dressed in certain clothes. They have on a certain watch. They have, I have what some people have called a dumb phone. And I agree, it is a dumb phone. And in fact, I'm sure they made it to be dumb so that I would want a smartphone. I have a dumb phone, but my wife, she has a smartphone. Aren't you impressed by these people who have the smartphones? Aren't you just amazed at what they can do with? I'm amazed. I mean, my wife was filming Nathaniel as he was playing. Notice that she was filming while Nathaniel was playing. You did catch that, folks. She was filming while Nathaniel was playing. Where's your camera now, woman? But what is amazing is that if she wanted to, she could send that around the world in just seconds. It's just amazing. And we are impressed with that. See, we're impressed by money. And the disciples were no different. They were impressed. These men had cast in much. But Jesus is saying, what? This poor widow, she probably had on clothes that were of a person that didn't have much. They could hardly hear what she put in. And he's saying she gave more? Lord, what are you talking about? You know, I'm sure that he said a lot of things they didn't understand. Verse 4 says, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. Oh, we are to give, but we're to give with the right attitude and the right motive, not for personal attention, but for the Lord's work to be accomplished. We find here a true step of faith. The rich have cast in of their abundance, but she of her punery meaning need or want, she cast in that which was going to take care of what she needed. She cast in all the living that she had. Why? God did not expect that of her. Why did she do it? Could I broach the thought? Her love of the Lord God of Israel? She loved God. May I say this? We ought to love God. Don't you think when you love someone, you should give to that person? You know, I love to give to Donna. I don't even mind giving treats to her dogs because I love Donna. If Donna were to leave me, she better take the dogs. You're not leaving? Good. But I love her. I give to her. If we love God, we ought to give to Him. Her willingness to give to the work of the Lord is seen here. I mean, it cost a lot of money to keep the temple looking as sharp as it did. And if you've seen pictures of that temple during that time that Jesus walked, it was quite impressive. A gold covering over the front of it, so that when the sun would shine on it, it would glisten for miles. And she was willing to give to the work of the Lord. But I told you I was going to read you something that I received the other day in the mail. It's entitled A Remarkable Life, and it's about Marjorie Browning. Anybody here know Marjorie Browning? That's okay, I don't know who she is either. Marjorie Browning, 1932 to 2014. So how old did that make her when she died? 1932 through 2014. 82. Okay. The remarkable earthly life of missionary Marjorie Browning came to an abrupt end November 12th, 2014. According to his published confession, a 16-year-old young man struck and killed Marjorie during a burglary. The teen had twice before come into Marjorie's very simple and small home to steal from her, but she had not reported the incidents, preferring to forgive her his trespasses. A few days later, the local people noticed she was not making her usual rounds in the community, and they came to her house and discovered what had happened. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, we'll be there in a little bit. Marjorie Mae Browning was born in Missouri in October of 1932. And she accepted Christ during a revival meeting at her church. I'll skip some of what is here in the article. But during her youth, Marjorie had a secret, something known only to herself and the family. She was suffering from osteomyelitis, a serious bone and marrow infection. She had been treated even with surgery, but the prognosis was never good. The doctors told her she would probably not live beyond the age of 35. How old was she when she was murdered? 82. She surrendered her life to be a missionary to Brazil. There was a young man who had also desired to go to Brazil and wanted to marry Marjorie. However, after receiving the awful prognosis, she determined it would be unfair for him to marry one who would die so young and possibly leave a husband and children on the mission field. Sadly, she declined the marriage proposal and prepared to make her journey to the mission field as a single woman. Marjorie became an approved missionary in 1959. She was 27 years old, leaving for Brazil with a support promise of $200 per month. 1959. In 1988, she moved to an even more remote location called Two Brothers Swamp. Now, doesn't that sound like a place you want to go live? Two Brothers Swamp. She lived with no electricity, no running water, no doctor, and no drugstore. In an article written about her, which called her the one-horse missionary lady from Two Brothers Swamp, former mission director Bob Bard said, "Never once did I hear Marjorie complain. She will tell you it is the life God called her to. It was not a sacrifice, but a privilege and opportunity for her to serve the Lord. She is the most serene person I have ever been around. God is obviously in complete control of her life and ministry. She is truly a spirit-directed model missionary. It can be said of Marjorie Browning that she is one of them of whom the world is not worthy." And then there are three different thoughts by different people that knew her. The first from Gary Wilson from High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. It says, "Our position as the missions director at High Street Baptist Church gives us the privilege to travel all over the world and visit missionaries. We can honestly say of all the places we have been, our favorite was visiting Marjorie. We've never experienced such an unselfish life lived as the life of Marjorie Browning. It was not easy to get to her, as it took 5 planes, 8 hours on a bus, and then 12 hours in the back of a pickup truck to get to where she lived. As a single lady, she chose to go and serve God in the interior of Brazil 40 years ago, where no other missionary would go at that time. She hated recognition, and she didn't come back to the States but just a few times in her total of 55 years she served in Brazil. We couldn't understand this until our family went to visit her in 2010 and saw her love for the Brazilians and their love for her. What an amazing testimony her life was. I also had the privilege to visit her again in May of this year, and at 82 years old, she was not showing any signs of slowing down. We will always cherish the time we spent with her in Brazil and consider it an honor that we became such good friends. Eddie Lyons, the now current pastor at High Street Baptist Church, writes, "When a young 26-year-old Marjorie told High Street Baptist Church that she felt called to go and serve the people of Brazil as a missionary, our church sent her. Against all odds and with no assurance of success, this single young lady from Springfield went. She was a real example of faith, courage, dedication, and perseverance. She lived out the missionary heart of our church. Most of our people at High Street did not know her personally, but we all knew her. She taught us to love the gospel and to surrender our lives to serve God and our mission and his mission. We were deeply saddened by her death. At the same time, we know her reward in heaven is great. We will continue to teach and inspire, or she will continue to teach and inspire us every time we remember. And it was our privilege to be her church and to partner her with over the years." And then one last thought from John Cunnerup, mission director. "Marjorie's life speaks clearly to that which should be important in the life of every believer, not just in the life of a missionary. First, her life portrayed an unquestioning surrender of all that she was and had to the will of God. This meant a life of separation from her roots, relatives, friends, and the development of a new family relationship with the Brazilian believers. Second, she exemplified a total commitment to the glory and honor of her Savior. Third, she illustrated simplicity of life, an understanding and commitment to the fact that God has a high purpose for her that supersedes all other interests, including a mate, family, and material things. In summary, Marjorie Browning was a godly woman who has left and will continue to leave an impact on the lives of Brazilians, her adopted family, who would have not known the hope but for her love and surrender of God to them. The Baptist Bible Fellowship is grateful to have partnered with and served a missionary like Marjorie Browning. She has been a wonderful example for all of us who have remained on the earth. We can only imagine the welcome she received when she stepped into heaven. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, if you would. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and the works do follow them." Shall we stand together? She gave more than all those that were rich. What does the Lord say of us? Our song of invitation will be 401, Only Trust Him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time of invitation. We thank you for this life that was lived. May it be an example to us, Lord, even as you are an example. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.